Birthdays are great, isn't it? You know, it's a fun time. It's a great time. Whether it is your first, your 16th, your 18th, your 21st, or whether it's your 25th birthday that you celebrate for the 30th time. It is a great reminder of the day that we were born, isn't it? The day we took our first breath and entered into this world. And it is an occasion we celebrate and rejoice, because otherwise, why would we greet each other with happy birthday? Why would we say to each other happy birthday if it's not a joyous occasion? So by nature, birthdays are celebrated with as a happy occasion. I mean, what loving parents or families or friends would not celebrate the birth of a child? Wouldn't you coo over the baby and think, oh, what a cute baby. Isn't it great this baby is born? Isn't it great that life was given? Isn't that what birthdays are really celebrating? But have you ever considered what happens when a parent is told by a doctor that there is complications in the womb? That the baby, although the baby might be born, the baby might not survive even hours or even days after the birth. It is still a birthday, isn't it? But how will we celebrate that birthday? How will we celebrate if a baby was born only to die after hours or even days? Could we celebrate that birthday like any other birthdays? You know, like most birthdays, Christmas is a joyous occasion, isn't it? It is a special day of celebration and goodwill when everyone seems to be relaxed. They are chilled. You know, they enjoy getting together and having that end of the parties and holidays. And apart from the frantic last-minute Christmas shopping, people in general seem to be, you know, pretty much relaxed about anything. You know, they can, you know, take the old bad things said to them. You know, they say, oh, that's all right. It's Christmas. I'll let that go, you know, that kind of thing. Even most businesses, apart from retail shops, close for the Christmas period because it's a time for everyone to go away with their families. You know, it's a time for people to gather together and enjoy each other's company, to relax and to rest at the end of the year. But is that what Christmas is really about? Is that all there is to Christmas, where we just relax, go shopping, spend time with families, go away on holidays? No, even though the world has made Christmas all about Santa Claus and shopping and family get-togethers, fundamentally, Christmas is still about the birthday of Jesus, isn't it? And if it is about the birthday of Jesus, consider this. Is he truly celebrated on Christmas Day? Is he celebrated on his birthday? Normally, birthdays are a celebration in honor of the person whose birthday it is on that day, isn't it? Birthdays, we celebrate the birthday of that person on that day. Not ourselves. No, I mean, I don't go around buying presents for myself when Timothy's birthday comes up, does it? No? It would be wrong for me to say, because it's your birthday, I'm going to buy presents for myself. And yet, with Christmas, is Jesus honored for his birthday? How does the world honor Jesus in their celebration of Christmas? So today I think it is quite appropriate for us to reflect on why and how we celebrate Christmas, especially as we confess that Jesus is King and Lord. How do we honor him in our celebration of Christmas? You know, usually when a famous person or an important person has a birthday, we usually celebrate and honor that person's achievement or what they will become. But what is it about Jesus that we celebrate on this Christmas Day, on this day that we celebrate his birth? So Christmas is a time when we should reflect and celebrate the reason why Jesus was born in the first place. But have you considered, why do we celebrate that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago? I mean, even 20 years back is too far back, really, for us to think about. 200 years, who knows what happened 200 years ago? But the birth of Jesus was happened 2,000 years ago. Why do we still continue to celebrate his birthday even after 2,000 years? And why do we celebrate the birthday of Jesus when he was born to die? For you see, his death was not an unplanned event. It was not a series of unfortunate events that led him to the death on the cross. His death was intentional. He actually came. He actually was given birth in order to die. He came into this world to die. Everything God had planned and did in the past, even up to the fall in Genesis chapter 3, was so that Jesus would die on the cross. And God's plan for the death of Jesus is clear in the scriptures, in the Bible, that he had planned it out right from the beginning, that Jesus was going to come as a man and die on the cross. And we can see that in the Bible today. So if you open up your outline, sermon outline today, there are three passages that we want to look at quickly. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says there, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, you there is a serpent, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." God promises victory over the serpent and ultimately salvation through the crushing of the serpent's head. That's the first gospel message that we see in the Bible. The first gospel message where the serpent will be defeated. But can you see how God will accomplish that victory? How he will bring about salvation by the crushing of the serpent? The promise of victory comes through the striking of the heel of the man, of the serpent crusher. Even at the beginning of the fall, we are given the hint of how salvation will come to us, how salvation will be won, by striking the heel of the serpent crusher. Now have a look at Genesis chapter 44, verse 33 to 34. This is the story of Joseph and his brothers. And this is Judah speaking here. "Now then, please let your servant," that is Judah, "remain here as my lord's slave in place of the boy," that is Benjamin. "And let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that would come upon my father." Here we see Judah, one of the 12 sons of Jacob, begging Joseph to let his brother Benjamin go home while he himself, that is Judah, stays behind as a substitute. In this interaction, we see a glimpse of the type of Messiah that will come. The Judah's sacrifice as a substitute is a type of salvation God has planned in Jesus. That is why when Jacob blessed Judah in Genesis chapter 49, he blessed Judah as being the king over his brothers because of what he had done for Benjamin, that he was a substitute for Benjamin. And that is why Jesus is a type of Messiah that Judah shows and reveals in that verse. And the idea of substitute is further developed in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 20 to 22. And it says there, "When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to your solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert." The idea of substitution is again found in the sacrificial system of the Israelites. The goat becomes a substitute for all of Israel, and when it is led out into the wilderness, he is carrying all their sins on its head. Just as Judah had volunteered to be the guarantee in place of Benjamin, the goat becomes the substitute for the sins of the people. And in turn, the judgment of God will fall on the goat rather than on the people, because the goat took on itself all the judgment that should have fallen on the people for their sins. And the death of Jesus has this idea of substitutionary death. The sacrificial system in the Old Testament is clear on the need for death to pay for sin, the need for blood to be spilled in order to cleanse sin. The offering of many sacrifices for all the sins that people commit. And this is the death that Jesus came to die. For that death, he was born, to die as a sacrificial lamb. So if you knew that a baby was going to die after birth, what would you do? How would you celebrate? Would you rejoice and celebrate like you won the lottery? Or would you celebrate the birth with great sadness and solemnness that the occasion deserves? You know, in our modern material society, we have lost touch with the real reason we celebrate the birthday of Jesus. For we have lost sight of Easter in our celebration of Christmas. We have lost the connection between Easter and Christmas in our celebration of Christmas. To the world, Easter is a time of bunnies and chocolate eggs, isn't it? It's where we eat lots and lots of chocolate and follow after bunnies. Which means Easter has no real relationship with Christmas apart from the retail sales. But Christmas without Easter does not make any sense at all. Christmas without Easter is not no Christmas at all. It just doesn't have any the same value. The birth of our Savior cannot be separated from the death of our Savior. Our Savior was born so that he could save us through his death. And that is what the suffering servant of Isaiah is all about, isn't it? In contrast to that other great Christmas figure, Santa Claus, the suffering servant in Isaiah is neither popular or celebrated. Where Santa is loved by children and adults all over the world, and everyone expects and wants to see him and take pictures with him. Have a look at what it says in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14, Isaiah says, just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. And again in chapter 53, verse 2 to 3, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, in any story, we want our heroes to be attractive. We want our heroes to be someone we can admire, someone we can be, you know, we enjoy taking photos with. We want our main characters to be something of a role model, someone we can look up to, someone we can say, isn't that guy great? But the imagery of the suffering servant here in Isaiah does not match the Hollywood action hero. Isaiah even says that the servant was so disfigured that he no longer looked human. He was inhuman in the way he looked. There was absolutely nothing in him that made him attractive to the world. Yet we see here that God had planned to bring salvation through this disfigured person, disfigured servant. For the one who was despised was the one who brought salvation. Have a look at chapter 53, verse 4 to 5. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. The servant not only suffered rejection from the people, but he bore upon himself the punishment that we deserved, the punishment that we should have had. He was our perfect substitute. By taking on himself our sins and trespasses, he died the death we deserved. Just as the sins of the people were laid upon the scapegoat, our sins were placed on him so that the wrath of God would not fall on us, but upon him. But the thing about his death, the thing about his rejection, is that it was not deserved. He did not deserve to be rejected. He did not deserve to die. He did not deserve to be punished for our sins. Because he committed no sin. He was innocent. He was righteous. Yet knowingly he suffered and died, as Isaiah writes in chapter 53, verse 9. He was assigned the grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. So this is the picture of the innocent servant suffering for the guilty. And through his suffering, God redeemed and saved the guilty from their sins. And this is the picture of Jesus when he died on the cross. He was rejected by the world. He was hated by the people. Yet he died so that we can live. Which is why when we think about the birth of Jesus, when we think about his birth in this light, where is rejoicing? Where is the celebration when the innocent died for the guilty? If we know our Lord Jesus was born in order to suffer for our sake, how can we rejoice in the birth? How can we say we are celebrating his birthday on Christmas when we are indulging in our own selfishness? What happened on Easter means that Christmas was the beginning of his journey to death. And this should make us think twice about celebrating Christmas like the rest of the world. Christmas is not about gifts, goodwill, or even families. Christmas is not about being good to others, to spread happiness in other people's lives. It is not a holiday we enjoy at the end of the year. Christmas is the day that our Lord and King was born in order to die. And that is the cause of our celebrations. That is the cause of our celebrating Christmas, isn't it? We celebrate Christmas because our Lord and Savior was born in order to die. That is the confession that we make on Christmas. So let's rejoice in his coming by reflecting and giving thanks for his cross and resurrection. Because if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for the cross and the resurrection, where will we stand? Where will we stand before God if it wasn't for Jesus coming to die for us on the cross? That is the cause for our celebration, because our sins have been forgiven. When we put our trust in Jesus, when we put our faith in him, no longer are we called the guilty. No longer are we called the wicked. No longer are we called the condemned. In Jesus' death, we are called the righteous. In his death and resurrection, we are called God's children. What better cause for celebration than that? That we can actually call God our Father because of what Jesus has done on the cross. So let's rejoice this Christmas. Let's join with the angels by lifting up our voices and proclaiming the glory of his majesty. For our Savior was born 2,000 years ago to bring us life through his death. He redeemed us and brought peace between God and us by the tearing of his own flesh. We celebrate Christmas because of Easter. We rejoice in Christmas because of the cross. So we celebrate Christmas by looking forward to the events of Easter. For Christmas represents the fulfillment of the promise of salvation. And as we saw today, God's plan had been that the Savior, the Messiah, the King, the Christ, was to die for the sins of the people. And his death was not plan B, was it? It was not plan B, but was plan A all along. In fact, as we saw in Isaiah, it was expected that people would reject him, to persecute him and make him suffer. Jesus was born to die. But he died so that we can live again, so that we can be born again. Therefore, as we celebrate Christmas this year, let's make sure that we celebrate it for the right reasons. And let's make sure that other people know the real reason why we celebrate Christmas. We are celebrating the forgiveness and salvation that was promised in the birth of our Savior. So as we celebrate Christmas this year, it is appropriate for us to reflect on why Jesus was born in the first place, to think about what his life and death achieved for us. Let's not just celebrate the baby in the manger. Let's not just coo over the baby in the manger. Think about the man that hung on the cross and stayed there so that we might be forgiven. Think about the man who hung on that cross so that we might be forgiven. Rejoice in the death of our Savior. For God gave His one and only Son so that we who believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is what Christmas is truly about, isn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Christmas as well, that we can come together to rejoice and celebrate the birth of Jesus. But most of all, thank you for that Christmas is a great reminder for us to think about what He has done for us on the cross. That Jesus came and that He was born in order to die. Lord, help us to think deeply about this and to think deeply about how this affects us. And Lord, help us to rejoice in the salvation that was won for us on the cross, and that His birth was only the beginning of that journey. And so, Lord, we pray that as we celebrate Christmas today, that we will not forget Easter, and that we will not forget the cross, for that is the true reason why we rejoice and celebrate this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.